Welcome to God First with Brian C. Thomas, a program committed to encouraging you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's join Brian C. Thomas for today's message.
Welcome to the program. My name is Brian Thomas. I greet you in the name of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is always a joy, an honor, and a privilege to join you each week. I want to thank you for tuning in. We are this week continuing our look at the Scarlet Woman and Scarlet Beast of Revelation chapter 17. And last week we looked at the fact that this Scarlet Woman represents false religion. And oftentimes when we hear the term false religion, we tend to think of those religions that do not carry the label of Christianity. But what we're going to find today is that there are those who claim to be Christian. There are those who claim to be of the church, but are yet in the false religion. And the thing I like to stress to people, because I hear sometimes people say, I'm not religious, but I have a relationship with Christ instead. And I get what people are trying to say. But the thing about it is okay to be religious. The thing about it is you must be a follower of the one true religion, and that is followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do today, I'm going to share with you as we go through the scriptures, some troubling clips from two pastors that, again, are going to be examples of some of the things that we see coming out of churches that represent false religion. And folks, let me just make this clear that I do not enjoy doing these type of messages. I am not one of those that run to a fight. You know, those type of people that when they hear about a fight, they run to it and they're cheering it on. And then they go tell others about it. I'm not one of those. I don't enjoy. I don't get any fulfillment out of doing this type of thing, other than the fact that the Bible calls us in Titus chapter 1, verse 9 to encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. That is what the Bible calls elders to do. And so I am simply being obedient to the scriptures. But again, it's not something that I enjoy doing. But I want to begin by sharing a clip from Bishop William Murphy. He is the pastor of the Dream Center Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he is addressing the local assembly on the Supreme Court overturning of Roe versus Wade.
All right, our country is in a crisis. Y'all do know America's going to hell, right? But my conviction is America can't go to hell with me and my family living here. I know that's not politically correct. I'm not supposed to say that. And some people will say, well, Bishop, you're a man of God. Are you pro-abortion? I am pro-human and civil rights. It's my conviction that a man, because let's go here, okay? So let's all the guys, let's all set appointments to get vasectomies. Or better yet, they not shutting the vasectomy clinics down. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. I didn't see one protester outside of a vasectomy clinic. I didn't see one. But we want to legislate. Listen, we cannot legislate morality. That's why the church is in existence. That's why there's a separation of church and state. That's why the church legislates morality. The government legislates the law of God. All right? And so women have rights too.
So I told you in the beginning that these are troubling statements. And again, this is the bishop, the pastor of a church, and he's addressing his congregation following the Supreme Court overturning of Roe versus Wade. And you heard him state that he is pro-human rights and he is pro-civil rights. And then he goes on to equate vasectomies from men or for men with abortion. So that shows how skewed his logic is, in which he's talking about doing something for a male operation, and he's equating that to taking the life of a child that is already developing in the womb. And then he goes on to say that we cannot legislate morality. That is one of the telltale signs of those who embrace sin. And when you hear statements like that, when you hear the separation of church and state, which is not in our Constitution, I don't know how many times I've had to say that over the years, but this is the common vernacular of those who try to justify sin. And so what we see here is a perfect example of, again, the false church, the false religion, and what the Bible calls the scarlet woman that we see in the last days. We see it already in place today, and is going to continue into the great tribulation. So we're going to again look at Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 through 18. But I want to read verses 1 through 8 to catch us up in case you missed last week. So Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 8 reads, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, 'Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is.'" Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your great holy word. It is my prayer, Lord, that all things that are spoken, that it be nothing but sound doctrine, and may you be honored and glorified in all things, in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to pick up with Revelation chapter 17, verse 9, where the Bible tells us, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." This woman, this representation of the false religion, she sits on these seven mountains. Now, some suggest that this represents Rome, as it is a city built on seven hills, while others say the seven mountains represent seven kings. Now, it is common for scripture to use mountains to designate kings or kingdoms, as what we see in the book of Isaiah chapter 2. But what I want to really think of, have you think about as we are looking at this, is wisdom. And so I want to take you back to, again, to this pastor, William Murphy, as he continues to speak to the congregation concerning the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
"I don't have a right to tell you that." And somebody said, "Well, some super religious person who got a bunch of sin in their life said, well, abstinence is the answer." Well, you didn't abstain. And what kills me is people out there protesting already had one. You had one in your younger years. And then don't tell me you're protecting the unborn. Because if you're really pro-life, you wouldn't be cutting back funding for schools. If you're pro-life, you wouldn't be fighting for 18-year-olds to buy machine guns. If you're really pro-life, why are you fighting for somebody who's not in law enforcement, somebody who's not in the military, to have a legal right, a constitutional right, to purchase a clip that holds 100 bullets? But you're pro-life? Because I ain't seen a deer shoot back yet. Matter of fact, when I drove up in my driveway the other day and the deer saw me coming, he ran for his life. He didn't pull out no Glock and start shooting. So I didn't need to protect myself against a deer. This ain't about hunting. This is about, and listen.
All right, folks. This is just buffoonery, what you hear coming from this pulpit. And it's all too common in churches today. But you can tell the spirit of this man who, again, has the title of bishop, has the title of pastor, and he is giving all of the worldly talking points, the things that you hear from those that are in the world. He is knocking the idea of abstinence. Now, what kind of a thing is it to say to someone who may say it is best to practice abstinence, meaning no intimacy physically until marriage, which is what God calls us to do, to be holy? What kind of response is it for anyone to then turn around and say, well, you didn't abstain? What kind of logic is that? But that is what the world does. And so then he goes on to imply that those who have had abortions and are now pro-life are hypocrites, because he said, well, you had one. The ones who are out there protesting, you had an abortion in your younger years. And I think to myself, well, of course, those who have had it and are now struggling and have had the struggles and know what it brings in terms of suffering to the woman and to the baby in the womb, who better to share with others, to say, don't do it, don't make the same mistake that I made. But according to him, you can't say anything if you've sinned. And so according to this pastor, following his rationale, I guess the Apostle Paul could not preach because the Apostle Paul was against Christianity. Remember, before he became Paul, he was Saul, and he was a persecutor of those who were followers of Jesus Christ. He had many killed at his orders for being a follower of Jesus Christ. But Paul went on to become the arguably greatest missionary in the New Testament. And so look at what we would all have missed out on in terms of the word if the Apostle Paul would have taken the standpoint of saying, well, because I did wrong in my past, I can't tell anybody else what to do. But this is the rationale from this pastor, and this is the rationale of the world, and this is the rationale of spirits that are not of God. And that is why we must have wisdom. Like the scripture tells us, here is the mind which has wisdom. It takes wisdom to see that people who are pro-abortion, have you noticed that they are also typically anti-right to bear arms? And he points to these other things, and you see those characteristics all flowing together, and it takes wisdom to recognize those spirits that are behind it. And so as we go on to verse 10 in Revelation 17, it says, there are also seven kings, five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. So I want to present four possible scenarios of what this verse is referring to. Scenario one is that these are seven kings of the Roman Empire. Five Roman emperors had come and gone during John's lifetime. Domitian, the existing king, as of the time when John was writing the book of Revelation, he would be the one is, the sixth emperor or king. And then Antichrist would be the other that has not yet come, being the seventh king. So that's scenario one. Now, scenario two is seven forms of worldly governments is what this represents. Scenario three, Rome was known as the city built on seven hills. And so the seven heads represent the seven hills of Rome. And then lastly, scenario four, that this represents seven kingdoms of past, present, and future as of the time Revelation was written that oppress the Jewish people. So at the time that John wrote the book of Revelation, the nation of Israel had been under the oppression of five kingdoms in its history. It began with Egypt when Joseph was sold into slavery and he went down into Egypt. That began the Egyptian bondage in that day, as when the Jews began to grow and the Pharaoh became paranoid, thinking they would revolt against him. And so he put them in bondage. And of course, again, Joseph went as a slave, but then he was delivered from slavery. He became the second in command to the kingdom. But then over time, as the Jews began to repopulate or to populate the area of Egypt known as Goshen, then they went under bondage. The second empire that had them in bondage was Assyria. Then there was Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece. So these would be the five that have fallen. Each king in the scripture represented a kingdom. Now, again, at the time of John's writing, Israel was in bondage to the Roman Empire. So the one is would be a reference to the Romans. And then as for the other has not yet come, this would refer to a future kingdom, which many believe will be the revived Roman Empire known today as the European Union. Only time will tell if this last kingdom will be the European Union or some other coalition. But the last kingdom will complete the total of seven kingdoms that will have afflicted the Jews throughout their history. So again, folks, as we're looking at this again, we are talking about this false religion that is going to be in harmony, in bed with the kingdoms of the world that are going against our Lord Jesus Christ. These false religions play a very key role in what is going to take place as we continue to work towards the coming of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to return now to, again, Bishop William Murphy as he continues to address the congregation.
Listen to me. Once the door is open, don't y'all see, this is why y'all got to wake up and stop being so spiritual and so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. This is not just about reproductive rights. This is about voting rights. It's about civil rights. It's about human rights.
So I'll be honest with you, folks. It breaks my heart hearing this type of thing coming out of a pulpit, and you hear the people there that are cheering it on. These things that are antithetical to the faith, and pastors and churches like this Will Murphy, they are going to continue, unfortunately. And the Bible tells us that they are going to dominate during the 7-year tribulation, but it will only be for a short time. Because like Antichrist, they're going to have their time, but their time is going to come to an end. But again, you hear in his talking diversion tactics, like he starts to talk about voting rights. Well, this overturning of Roe versus Wade was simply to say a woman does not have a constitutional right to take the life of her unborn child. Has absolutely nothing to do with voting rights, but that's what he starts to talk about. He starts to talk about civil rights. He starts to talk about human rights. Again, things that have nothing to do with this ruling. But that is what those who, when they are in the wrong, rather than focusing on the one issue at hand, they start to point to other things. Those are called diversion tactics. Don't get caught up in those tactics. Don't allow them to stray you off the issue at hand, because that is a common thing that they often do. And so as we continue in Revelation 17, again, looking at this woman, this false religion, and these leaders of the world that are going to work with this woman, it says in verse 11, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. So in keeping with scenario one that I gave you and scenario four, this strongly suggests the Antichrist is the seventh head. He will appear to be killed during the 7-year tribulation as he would try to mimic Jesus Christ being killed on the cross and rising from the dead. So he's going to appear to be killed and then come back to life, be resurrected during the tribulation. Again, as Satan has tried to always take the place of God. And so he tries to mimic God, and he's going to mimic the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he will go into the lake of fire at the end of the tribulation. So let's fast forward to Revelation 19, verse 20, which speaks of this event. There it tells us, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And so the eighth that this verse is talking about is this one world system, this one world kingdom of the tribulation that, again, will be in bed with this false religion. And remember in scripture, we saw earlier in Revelation that it says that it is the dragon that gives power to the beast. And we pointed out the fact that the dragon is Satan. And then the beast that is giving power to is this world system headed by Antichrist. But notice here, when we're at this point, it starts to talk about the beast and Satan, Antichrist, as being one. And the reason for this is because at the midpoint of the tribulation, Satan is going to enter into this human being, this man who we know as Antichrist and will be known then as Antichrist, and he will possess him. So Antichrist and Satan will be as one. So that's why you see this beast. We know that Satan is the one who will go into perdition. And so this beast, it says, is also because it will be as one with Satan in the end. So again, the false religion, that's what I really want to keep drawing your attention back to, the false religion that we will see in the future and that we see taking place even today, as again, Bishop William Murphy continues to address his congregation.
Now listen, my position is that the Bible is still right. Look at somebody say, the Bible is still right. So when it comes to these issues, I don't have an opinion. When it comes to these issues, I do not have an opinion. If you ask me what I think about an issue, I'm going to find a scripture and I'm going to read that scripture. Because I don't have an opinion, I have a conviction that the Word of God is still true. Somebody write that down. The Word of God is still true. So I don't have to believe in same-sex marriage. I don't have to believe in it. But what I do believe is I don't have a right to tell you who you can and cannot marry. Look at somebody, tell them, mind your own business.
All right. So the scripture tells us that this beast is going to go into perdition. Perdition is the eternal state of damnation. It is the lake of fire. And folks, it is my prayer that men like this pastor will repent. And I'm not here making a judgment to say that I know where his eternal state will be, or for that matter, anybody's eternal state, because only our Lord knows it. But our Lord tells us that we will recognize followers by their fruit. And I don't see the fruit of a follower coming out of the mouth of this pastor. And so it is my prayer that he will come to repentance, and for all who are going along with this false religion, because as he's talking, he's saying that the Bible is right, but he never quotes a single scripture to support his position. He says he doesn't have an opinion, but while he's there speaking, he's giving one this entire time. And then he's wearing a T-shirt that says women have rights too. Again, in response to the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which again is telling us that there is no constitutional right for a woman to take the life of her unborn child. And so why does God call preachers if we cannot tell a person how to live? If we are not to be one to tell someone what's right and what's wrong, then why does God call preachers? That tells us that he's speaking heretical things, because he's speaking against what the Word of God calls us as preachers to do. And so it is my heart that this pastor will repent. It is my heart that for those who are sitting under the leadership of this pastor, that they will become awake to what is taking place, and that they will see the light and also repent from these heretical things that we hear coming out of this pulpit. So we're going to pause for a brief announcement, but please don't go away, folks. We're going to come back more again, looking at this scarlet woman, the false religion of Revelation chapter 17. You are tuned into the God First program.
You are listening to Brian C. Thomas on God First. For more of Brian's teachings, please visit godfirst.org to browse our extensive library of material. There you will find devotionals, blogs, articles, and audio messages available as MP3 downloads on various topics such as salvation, Bible prophecy, marriage, and the significance of Blessing Israel, just to name a few. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter and visit our web store. So please visit us at godfirst.org. Now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
Revelation chapter 17, verses 12, 13, and 14 read, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." So we see that these 10 horns mentioned here in our text, it coincides with the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's vision from Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13. These are the 10 kings who will make up the Antichrist World Confederacy of Nations. The Antichrist will give them authority over countries, but only for a short time, is what the scripture refers to as 1 hour, simply referring to a short period of time. But these 10 kings will work together as one unit and give total allegiance to Antichrist. And these 10 kings will work together to bring the armies to the Valley of Megiddo at the end of the tribulation, which is where they will be defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ at his return. But they are again being led. They are following along with this false religion that is going to dominate during this time. So let us finish with the final comments from Bishop William Murphy.
No. You know, because church folk want to, y'all kill me, because y'all some of the most nasty, freakiest, sex havenist, illegal sex havenist folk I know, and want to make this about righteousness. That's why people not joining church, because they know how fake we are. We're going to be real about it. This is not about righteousness. This is about civil and human rights. Because if the precedent is the Constitution doesn't talk about abortion, well, the Constitution also says I'm 3/5 of a human being. The Constitution also says that I don't have a right to vote. So if the precedent is, if the Constitution doesn't address it, I don't have a right to it. I'm telling y'all, this is an open door. First, reproductive rights, then voting rights, then civil rights, then human rights. This is just the beginning of a demonic agenda. And the church has to get in the gap.
All right. This is just absurdity is what this is. You hear him mocking righteousness. And again, the comments that he's making are so absurd that it really does not even warrant a response. But and I'm not going to respond to all of it, because when he's talking about the 3/5 of a human, he's black. He's a black man. And he's talking that the Constitution says he's 3/5 of a human. I don't have time to get into it today to explain all of this, but I am doing an interview on our sister podcast, Discerning the Times, where I will have a pastor who is going to break down this falsehood that so many try to lean on as blacks to talk about what the Constitution does and does not say. So be on the lookout for that at blessingstoisrael.com in the coming weeks. And we're going to go through it in depth. But he is making claims that not giving right to murder unborn babies is a demonic agenda. You see the wickedness. You see the days that the Bible says in which people would see right as wrong and wrong as right. And so he's calling the taking away of the right, which again, the Constitution never gave. So the Supreme Court decision in 1973 should never have happened. So he's saying taking that away is demonic. But he's the one who has a demonic agenda. He's the one that is following demonic spirits in speaking these things that are antithetical to the faith. Again, this false religion, this scarlet woman that we already see in existence today, she's going to continue to thrive and to dominate during the 7-year tribulation. Verse 15 says in Revelation 17, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Remember, the Bible calls this woman a harlot, a prostitute, a whore. And this worldwide system over which this woman sits, she dominates. So that is the influence that this false religion is going to have on the world during the 7-year tribulation. And it's sad to say that this pastor, William Murphy, is not the only one out there who is speaking these things. Folks, I came across so many that are speaking falsehoods concerning this overturning of Roe versus Wade, concerning this topic of abortion. But I just could not share them all. But I decided to share these two well-known pastors. And William Murphy is also well known for being a renowned gospel singer. He makes a lot of gospel music that is very popular. And so, again, but you see the falsehoods that he's speaking. So the second one that I want to share with you today is Pastor Jamal Bryant. He leads New Birth Church in Stonecrest, Georgia, which is just outside of Atlanta. So here are his words addressing the local assembly again concerning the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
This week, America turned back the hands of time and declared war on women in this nation. I wanted us to stand resolvedly to say to this nation that if America was authentically pro-life, then they would immediately abolish the death penalty. If they were really pro-life, then they would put more money into Head Start programs. If they were pro-life, they would seek to cure the opiate addiction in this nation. If they were pro-life, they would make sure that teachers feel safe in their schools. If they were pro-life, there would be stricter measures about gun control in this nation. If it was pro-life, we would not have to deal with food insecurity.
All right. So this, again, pastor, and you see the same type of rhetoric that is coming from him as you heard from the first one, William Murphy. He claims that America has turned back the hands of time and declared a war on women. And you see the same diversion tactics once again coming from his mouth as he's pointing to all these other things by saying, if you were really pro-life, you would do this or you would do that. They're trying to take away the focus from the real issue at hand. But the scripture tells us again, folks, that this spirit, this false religion, this scarlet woman is going to dominate the world, but only for a time. And we see it already today. And once the church is taken away, the true church is taken away in the rapture, and the 7-year tribulation begins, this false religion is going to, again, dominate. So as we go back to our text in chapter 17 of Revelation, verse 16 says, "And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot." They're going to hate this false religion that we hear coming out of the mouths of these pastors. It says that they would make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So during the first half of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to use this religious system, this false religion, to advance his cause. And they will submit to it, but only for the need to gain power. They're going to actually hate the submission. And once their purpose has been reached, they will destroy her. That is this religious system. And it is at that point that the false religion of Antichrist worship will begin. And folks, how many times have you seen cases in which a man will get with a prostitute for the desires of the flesh, only for it to end in murder? I've watched so many crime shows, and you see that happen. And not only prostitutes who are doing it for money, but some who are not doing it for money. I've seen people who just decide to get together for sexual reasons, and a disagreement happens, and then the man ends up killing the woman. And that is because evil turns on itself. Evil ends up destroying evil because it is wicked. And we're going to see that happen during the 7-year tribulation, where the Antichrist is going to turn on this harlot. Once he's had his way with her and gotten what he's wanted from her, he's then going to destroy her. So let's again, I want to go back to Jamal Bryant as he is talking to his congregation concerning his feelings of where our nation stands.
"But I stand with now the living matriarch of the movement, Maxine Waters, who said they have declared war on 32 million women in this nation. And one thing about a woman, when she is focused, she is not gonna stop until she gets what she needs. We stand, but we realize that this is not just a woman's issue. Unless I don't understand how pregnancy works, men have to extend their voices as well. And so we speak to this nation to declare that New Birth stands with the amazing women of this church, of this community, and of this country, that women have the right to have authority over their body. And it should not be legislated by men in Washington, D.C.
All right. So if you did not know already, if you had any doubts, as soon as he says that he's standing with the matriarch of this movement, Maxine Waters, this is the same Maxine Waters that is the U.S. House of Representatives that advocates for violence. The same Maxine Waters that said, if you see a Donald Trump supporter, to get in their face. The same Maxine Waters who has been calling for defunding and getting rid of law enforcement. He's standing with this woman and calling her a matriarch of the movement. And as you hear him talk, did you notice that he said it is not just a woman's issue and that men need to speak out? But then he turns around and says that men in Washington, D.C. cannot legislate the issue. So this is what the Bible calls a double-minded man. This is what is talking about speaking out of both sides of your mouth. Because on the one hand, he says it's not just a women's issue. Men need to speak out. But then when men in D.C. within the Supreme Court do speak out and says, no, this is not constitutional, then he says, no, they cannot do that. A double-minded man. Those are not the ways of God. And he states that a woman has authority over her own body. This is heretical teaching, folks. And I wish I could sit down and talk with this pastor and point him to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verses 19 through 20, which tells us, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are not our own. The Bible clearly says that in this text. But yet he says a woman has authority over her own body to do what she wants. Forget what God says. A woman has authority, according to this bishop. And not only does the Bible say that we are not our own, but instead we are of the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also tells us that for believers in Jesus Christ, true believers, it says to us that me as a man, my body does not belong to me, but instead belongs to my wife in the terms of a marital relationship. It also says that for my wife, that her body does not belong to her, but it belongs to me as her husband. And so you see the heretical teachings that this pastor is spewing. But the Antichrist is going to promote these type of false religions, but will eventually destroy it. Because again, evil feeds on itself. Evil turns on itself. And so in verse 17, it says, for God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. This is one of many examples which declare that God is in control of all, and God can use anyone or anything for fulfillment of his purpose. He used pagan nations to judge the Israelites in the Old Testament. When they would rebel against him, he would allow pagan nations to come in to overtake them in order to turn them back to repentance. And so God is going to put it in the hearts of these leaders of the world to give their kingdom to the beast. And so it's going to be for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Let's hear more from Pastor Jamal Bryant.
I want all of us all over this room, would you do me a favor? Would you celebrate the women around you who are competent enough to make decisions about their bodies, decisions about their life, and decisions about their future? We're praying steadfastly because what we are seeing is racism rearing its head again. With this measure that has just taken place, black baby infant mortality is going to rise by 30%. And hence, we cover the lives of our mothers, of our pregnant mothers, and our unborn babies.
All right. So Pastor Bryant, he goes on to tell the congregation to celebrate women having the right to choose. And the thing that I'm asking as he's talking, what does racism have to do with this issue? He's talking about racism. And this is about unborn babies. It has absolutely nothing to do with race. But again, this is a diversion tactic. This is to play on emotions. This is to get people worked up in a frenzy to say they're coming after us because of racial motivations. And it's all just lies. And then he says the infant mortality rate is going to rise by 30%. When women do not have the right to take the life of their unborn child. But for every baby that is aborted, the mortality rate is 100%. So you see the illogic within this man. And again, I hope he repents. I hope he and Bishop Murphy and all of those who were spewing these wicked heretical things out of the pulpit that they would come to repentance. Verse 18, Revelation 17 says, "And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Now, many have taken this to mean this woman represents the capital city of the Antichrist kingdom. But this cannot be, because Antichrist himself is going to rule over the kings of the earth. So we are left to conclude that this woman represents, again, this Babylonian religion of idolatry that has existed ever since back in the days of Nimrod that we talked about in the book of Genesis. And it really should not be a surprise that this prostitute woman, this religious system, is referred to as a city. Because note that the bride of Christ is described in Revelation 21:2 as the holy city, the New Jerusalem, due to the inhabitants, due to believers in Christ that are living in the city. And just as a side note, today, Vatican City is the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church in Italy, again, a religious entity. And so when we see in scripture, as I mentioned last week, when a woman in scripture is used, a woman always represents a spiritual or religious movement. A good woman is Jehovah's wife or bride of Christ, whereas an evil woman is a prostitute. It represents idolatry. And that is why I stress to people, when you fornicate, when you choose to have sexual relations outside of your marriage, what you're doing, whether you're already married or if you're not yet married, when you have sexual relationships outside of marriage, you are representing acceptance of Satan. What you are doing is representative of satanic worship. Whereas within marriage, between a man and a woman, it represents being joined as one with our Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And so this woman, this religious system, this Babylonian religious system is represented by the numerous false religions in world history, even those who claim to be Christianity. And this woman will reign over the kings of the earth, indicating the great influence that she is going to have on world governments. As the Bible says, they will commit fornication with this woman, this false religion. So I want to share two more clips from Pastor Jamal Bryant before we wrap up for today.
I need you to do me a favor, please. While last Sunday was Father's Day, today we stand in the gap for mothers and for emerging mothers. I need you to do me a favor, please, because I need you to be mindful that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. There is something satanic afoot in Washington, D.C. So today, proudly, we dedicate babies in our church. They're coming at this time because we believe the children are the future. But we also believe that mothers have the right to elect where it is that they are in the season and the stages of their life. And they should not be criminalized for making decisions that will best suit them for where it is that they are. As we're living in a world that is declaring war on women, we declare that God is going to make you fit for the battle, that there'll be no obstacle you will not be able to overcome. I anoint your hands, even in this moment, that God will give you the strength to take hold of whatever it is that you go after. I anoint your feet by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will have dominion in the earth just as you do in heaven. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. Sisters, make some noise even now.
All right. So, folks, the irony or the hypocrisy in this whole thing is that this is during a baby dedication where he claims this is a satanic movement in Washington, D.C. And while he's speaking here at the end, he's actually laying hands on this precious little baby girl and he's praying over her while all along stating the world is declaring a war on women for overturning Roe versus Wade. This is really mind blowing, but we see this false religion, even in those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And this congregation from this pastor and the first one that I shared with you, William Murphy, the congregations are in the thousands. These are numerous people that are following their leadership. And there are a lot of women present. And you heard them say at the end, women make some noise. And it reminds me of this scripture. And I don't want any women to take offense to this because Godly women do not fall under the scripture that I'm about to share with you. But the Bible tells us that in the last days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 7, it says, "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And this is what we see taking place right here, is that men like this pastor leads away gullible women who were loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, led away by the lust of the flesh, led away by the lust of convenience, that want to have the right to be able to go out and have sex whenever they want, with whoever they want, wherever they want, and then take the life of the baby that comes along with it. This is what the scripture is telling us. But again, folks, for you women out there who are godly women, you recognize this. You are not those gullible women. You see the wickedness in what the scripture, or the wickedness in what this pastor, I should say, is speaking, and how he's twisting scriptures. But this is what the Bible says will be the condition as we approach the last days. And so this woman, this false religion, is going to reign over the kings of the earth, but the kings of the earth will destroy her. And the thing about it is, when we look at churches like these that I have shared with you today, the Bible tells us of the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in that parable, it says that Satan plants tares among the wheat. So in these church congregations, there are those that are not of God. There are those who are of Satan. And unfortunately, Satan plants, even in the pulpit, tares, those who are not of God. It says, "An enemy came and did this at midnight while I was away, or while I was asleep." And so Satan has done the same thing. I even heard a story once of a warlock. I actually heard an interview of a man who was a former warlock who had eventually been delivered and came to know Christ. And he said that they would have meetings with other warlocks and witches, and they would go to these meetings and they would receive instructions as to which church they would go to and how they were to go and infiltrate these churches. But to sit there and fit in and try to see how the people praise and see how they clap and to learn the lingo. And then once people would not be suspecting of them, they said they were told to stir up trouble, cause division within the church. And so, folks, we must have wisdom when we're looking at this false religious system that it is even in the church today. It is infiltrated, even sound churches. And so we need wisdom. You know, I told my children the other day during our morning devotion that we have, is that I told them they cannot receive words from any and everyone who calls themselves a preacher or a pastor. And we see examples today of why that is in these two pastors that I've shared with you. And I even told my wife, when I was talking to her, I said, we have to update our statement of faith to include the fact that we are pro-life in our ministries, on our ministry's website, because that was a time in which I thought it was a no-brainer that as a Christian ministry, we would be pro-life, that people would just know we are pro-life. But as we see today, that there are those who fly under the banner of Christianity, but instead they are pro-abortion, taking the life of an unborn child. And I noticed too, as you heard both of these pastors speaking, neither ever gave scripture to support their position, but you've heard me give numerous scriptures to support the position that it is sin, that it is wickedness of what we hear coming out of these pastors' mouths. I want to close with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and that they should turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And that is exactly what we see taking place in churches. Folks, these are serious times that we are living in. We must have wisdom of God to navigate these times. We must be in prayer. And so I am going to close with prayer for repentance of these pastors and for any who are following along with these wicked doctrines that they are teaching. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It is my prayer, Lord, that you would touch the hearts and minds of Bishop Murphy, that you would touch the heart and mind of Pastor Bryant, and for all the people that are being led astray in these churches, Lord, that you would just touch them right now, Lord, and show them the truth and the way, which is you, our Lord Jesus Christ, to follow your way, to follow the scripture in which you said, I put before you life and death, choose life so that you will be blessed and not receive a curse upon the land. It is my prayer that they would repent to come out of this false religion. And not only them, Lord, but anyone else who around the world who is claiming to be of the faith, but instead is doing exactly what the scripture says would happen, that they would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And instead go for those who are going to tickle, going to scratch their itching ears. So I pray for the repentance, Lord. And during this time, Lord, we give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise for the great God that you are. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to die for our sins. As we close, Lord, we remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless your great nation of Israel. And unto you, the only wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teacher Brian C. Thomas, founder and president of God First. Brian and God First reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available at our website, godfirst.org. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.